I want to call your attention in the beginning this evening to an expression that is found in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. What shall I more say? This is the great faith chapter of the Bible. Paul has given us examples of many people in the Old Testament who did many wonderful things by faith in God. And now he's closing out this chapter. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Those are marvelous verses, aren't they? Women received their dead raised to life again. That's down through verse 35. But a great change takes place in verse 35. He's been talking about many great deliverances from fire and giants and etc. Now he's going to be talking about people who did not experience deliverance, but they were faithful even in the presence of great afflictions. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now these people who went through all these great afflictions had just as much faith in God as those who experienced great deliverances. It takes a lot of faith, beloved, to suffer and not complain. And these individuals, at the end of chapter 11, went through some awful afflictions, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now I want to back up to verse 35, where the Apostle Paul talks about some who did not accept deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I want us to think a while this evening about that expression, a better resurrection. What is a better resurrection? The word better would imply, I think, not imply, but teach, that there is another kind of resurrection. When you say something is better, that indicates that you're comparing it to something else. If I said that Jiffy peanut butter is better than other kinds, that lets you know there's other kinds of peanut butter. Well, Paul mentions a better resurrection. What would a better resurrection be? Well, in the Old Testament, we have examples of three people that were raised back to natural life. I won't go to all of those references this morning, but they are found in 1st and 2nd Kings. And it's a very interesting study. I might just look at one right here in 1st Kings chapter 17. And verse 17, And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she came to Elijah, and she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to stay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, my son liveth." Wasn't that a glorious moment for this widow to receive her son to life again? Now, later on in the book of Kings, Elisha was blessed to bring a dead person back to life. And then the most amazing thing happened. After Elisha had died and was buried, a man fell into his grave and touched his bones, and he came back to life. Now, that's an amazing story, isn't it? Now, these lessons in the Old Testament teach us that our God has power over death itself. He has all power. Death has no claim on God, and he can bring people to life again. But we would think that these three individuals who were given their lives back on this earth would die again. Now, in the New Testament, we have records of people who had died, and Jesus brought them back to life. In Mark chapter 5, there was an example of Jairus's daughter being brought back to life. Jesus Christ could speak and give them life. There was the young man of Nain that was brought back to life by Jesus Christ. And there is one familiar story I think we're all familiar with in John chapter 11, when Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, and they roll the stone away from his tomb, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And it's probably been pointed out to you all before, if Jesus had not said, "Lazarus, come forth," if he had just said, "Come forth," every dead person in the world would have come out. How many of y'all believe God's got that kind of power? But he specified and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and immediately this dead man arose and lived again. These are wonderful stories of the of people coming back to life, but apparently the Bible would leave us to believe that they were to die again on this earth. They were given their natural life back. Now, that was a resurrection, but it was not a resurrection unto glory. It was a resurrection back to natural life. But when our Savior died and was buried, he came back to life 3 days later. But he came out of that grave in a glorified body that would never die again. Now, Beloved, we all believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. I know you all do, and I certainly do, and it's brought me incredible comfort through the years that I've lived on this earth as I have lost one loved one and one friend after another. I thought about it this week with Pat passing away and Barbara Kay passing away. He had dementia the last 2 or 3 years of his life. Barbara Kay had pancreatic cancer, and it took her out in just about 3 or 4 months. But now we know that all of us are going to die. We understand that. It's appointed unto man once to die. That doesn't mean that you've got a certain time to die, that God will see to it that you die on that day. No, that's not what that verse means. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You remember that passage in Hebrews. Now, I had a good Armenian friend one time who kept bringing that verse up to me. Brother Sam, we're going to face a judgment after the resurrection. You do understand that, don't you? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But I finally pointed out to him the next verse, so Christ also died for our sins. Now, beloved, he met the judgment for us. Do y'all believe that? I think I shared with you all recently, somebody asked Mark Twain the two most beautiful words in the English language. And Mark Twain said, the two most beautiful words is not guilty. I don't know if Twain had been in a trial or something and they found him not guilty. That would be good news, wouldn't it? If you were being charged with some felony and they found you not guilty, that would be good news. Well, I want to tell you, beloved, you are found not guilty in God's courtroom. And the reason for that is Jesus took your place and my place and bore our guilt. Our sins were laid on him, and he died to pay the sin debt. And the fact that Jesus Christ arose again proves to us beyond any question that God the Father, the judge of all the earth, accepted the payment he made. His resurrected body proves that God was satisfied with the offering he made on the cross. If one sin that Jesus died for had not been paid, I don't believe the body of Jesus would have ever come out of the grave. But the fact that he paid it all, he canceled out every sin that was against his elect family. Now God raises his body. And I want to tell you that resurrected body of Jesus is like a receipt stamped, paid in full. He paid it all. Do y'all believe that this evening? I want to tell you, we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ because it means that he paid the sin debt. So when our bodies come out of the grave on resurrection morning, we won't have to face a judgment in heaven with all of our sins being brought up because they've been paid for. They've been canceled out. Now, we rejoice in that wonderful truth this evening. So we come back to this text here in Hebrews 11, a better resurrection. Listen, if these dear people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that received their loved ones back to natural life, I'm sure they were happy about that. But we do know they were going to die again. Their bodies were sown in weakness, and they were raised in weakness. They were sown mortal bodies, and they were raised mortal bodies. They were sown earthly bodies, and they were raised earthly bodies. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul says that our bodies will be sown in weakness, but raised in power. They'll be sown mortal, but raised immortal. They will be sown earthly, but they will be raised spiritually. These very bodies. You know, that word "it" is a beautiful word there in 1 Corinthians 15, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Some people say the body will not rise again. It won't be involved in the resurrection. You'll get another body. No, sir. It'll be this body, it. You see that? But it will be changed. I love what Paul said to the Philippians, but our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation there means citizenship. I'm glad to have an American citizenship. Aren't y'all glad to have American citizenship? There's people all over the world that would love to have what you and I were born with when we were born in America. But I'm even more thankful to have citizenship in heaven, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior who shall change, not exchange, for another body, but change this vile body. He will change our vile body and fashion it like unto his own glorious body. I tell you, Paul said, God knows how to give us the body we'll need for heaven. Paul in that beautiful resurrection chapter talks about how God gave certain bodies to different creatures on this earth. He gave fish their bodies that they could swim in the ocean. Y'all ever just marvel at God's creation? I'm serious. You just think about it. You go to an aquarium and see all those fish swimming around. And God designed them a body that could live in water, underwater. Nature will preach to us if we've got an ear to hear and an eye to see. He gave birds the bodies they need to fly. I think their bones are hollow and they can just fly. Isn't that amazing to see birds flying? God gave them bodies so that they can actually fly. He gave giraffes and elephants and ground animals the kind of bodies they need to live on this earth. I tell you, I used to go to the Birmingham Zoo. I had a grandparents' pass so I could take my grandparents and Nelda's, my grandchildren and her grandchildren to the zoo. That was one of our favorite things to do. And that zoo is amazing. They had a lion there one time, or did have a lion, and had little cubs. And I'll tell you, those little cubs could crawl over their daddy and mama and not get upset at all. You and I'd have been in big trouble. But listen, animals are amazing to me. They are amazing to me. Brother Gerald Smith, y'all remember when he had zebras? He had a donkey. He told me all the different animals he had down there in Blakely County. He drove me by the other day and showed me the big fence he had to put up to have all those animals in there. The animals are amazing. Even our little dog, Molly, is amazing to us. We just keep expecting her to talk. Y'all ever had animals like that you just think going to start talking to you? They do communicate. God is amazing in his design of the different bodies for different creatures on this earth. And then Paul talks about the heavenly bodies. The sun has a body, the moon has a body, the stars have their own bodies. I tell you, we worship an awesome God. And let me tell you, beloved, on resurrection morning, when your body and my body come out of the grave, now if we're living when Jesus comes back, we won't need the undertaker. The upper taker will get us. Y'all believe that? That's what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, or the Thessalonians. He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. An old Scottish sister asked her pastor one time, she said, I think that's unfair. He said, what do you mean? Well, the dead get to come up first. and the living get to come up following them. And he thought and said, well, you got to remember they're 6 feet under. By the time they get 6 feet out of the grave, the dead and the living will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And you'll have a resurrection body, a glorified body, far better than the resurrection that Lazarus experienced, or that all of these people in the Old Testament experienced. You know, some people believe Paul experienced a resurrection. You know, they stoned him in Lystra. They intended to kill that man. They hated him. They hated his testimony. They drug him into a stone pit and stoned him. And they supposed he was dead. They drug him out of the city. And some people believe that Paul physically died and God resurrected him. I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible is silent on that. It may have been when he went up to the third heaven. You remember that? He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Here's something you and I rejoice in. We should rejoice in. That Old Testament character we were talking about, that young boy, his soul left his body. Now, whether they went to heaven or not, I don't know. I was talking to Nelda about that coming to church. I don't know if Lazarus went to, I would assume he did for a while. You know, he was in the grave 4 days. Where was his spirit? I would think probably it was in paradise. Some people have thought that's why Jesus wept, because he was going to have to bring Lazarus back into this broken, dying world. I don't think that's why Jesus wept, though. I believe he wept because he felt the heartache, the sorrow of Mary and Martha. And I believe he's right there with you and me when our loved ones die and we are grieving. He feels our pain. He weeps with us, and we understand that. But beloved, here is the glorious and wonderful thought. There is a better resurrection waiting for us. And you're going to get a body like you want when you get to heaven. I've asked this question recently. How many of y'all are satisfied with the body you've got right now? I can tell you right now, my brother Dan, if he could, he'd have better hearing. He would love to hear better than he hears. I have friends who are blind who would love to have their vision back. There's a lot of things we might change about our bodies. You might like to weigh a little more, weigh a little less. You know, there's things about our bodies that we would change. I read a while back about supermodels who are paid millions of dollars to step out on a stage to model certain clothes. And yet those supermodels who are thought to be gorgeous go to doctors to have plastic surgery. They want their nose different, their chin different. Isn't that sad? But listen, when you get your resurrection body, you're going to be satisfied with it. It's going to be glorious. It's a better resurrection. And we're now waiting for our Lord Jesus to come. You know, Easter Sunday is a wonderful time for the church and for all of us, because it does remind us of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to tell you all this morning, his body came out of that grave never to suffer again. He could walk through doors. In his resurrection body, he could be in heaven 1 second, on earth the next. We're going to be satisfied with our resurrection bodies. So let's just be patient. Let's wait a while and rejoice to know that we're living by hope, and our bodies will be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, and we will live again. We're here tonight to worship a God who is able to raise the dead. And we look forward to his second coming. What a day that will be.